Okay, if you are in the 13 states that are served by the PJM, that is the Eastern Power Grid, which serves 67 million people, by the way, then you might be in trouble by June of 2027, according to media reports and information from PJM itself. And let me just walk you through some of this. According to Bloomberg News, quote, AI data center boom risks breakup of biggest U.S. power grid operator. Soaring utility bills and sluggish bureaucracy are fueling calls to split up PJM interconnection, which runs the grid in 13 states. And then if you look at the PJM website, which is pjm.com, it has its own newsletter, talks about some of its auctions. It's trying to raise power to fill the demand, and some of those aren't going very well. So let's just mention this up front. The states that are served by PJM include all or parts of the following states: Delaware, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and the District of Columbia, excuse me, D.C. Apparently, between the years 2024 and 2030, the PJM organization itself expects electricity demand to increase by more than 30 gigawatts. 30 gigawatts. Driven largely by data centers. I'm reading from my AI agent research results here. And the auction prices have spiked dramatically. What that means is when they say auction, basically they're trying to raise power generation capacity. That's what's meant by the auction. And essentially then power generation companies will commit to providing a certain block of power at a certain price per megawatt hour. And according to my researchers, and also this was covered in, let's see, renewableenergyworld.com also covered this, the auction, the 2026/27 auction, was only able to be filled at prices that were 10 times higher than the megawatt hour prices from just 2 years earlier. 10 times. That's 1,000% increase in the wholesale cost of electricity that goes through PJM. So when you hear me talking about how I'm building an off-grid solar system, even though I'm in Texas, I'm not part of the PJM system, I've learned not to trust the power grid. Actually, I learned that in Texas too, back in 2021 when we had the big freeze and we had rolling blackouts in Texas. But the Texas grid seems to be very robust at the moment. PJM, not so much. PJM is saying that they may not be able to meet peak demand with the sufficient buffer that they normally have, and that this could happen by June of 2027. This is a reserve shortfall that they're talking about. Now, I'm going to read from renewableenergyworld.com. It says, quote, demand growth is outpacing the addition of new supply, risking reliability, and making the timely interconnection of new resources critical to keeping the lights on for 67 million people in 13 states and the District of Columbia. The fragile balance between supply and demand in PJM territory has been on full display in out-of-control power auctions that ultimately required a federally mandated price cap. So the feds had to step in and set a ceiling. Imagine that. Because, well, you know, there just wasn't enough power available at free market prices. So we're talking about price controls on electricity in the PJM system. Now, if I told you that the federal government was going to have price controls on bread, let's say, tomorrow, what would you immediately think about what would happen to the bread supply? You would think shortages, probably. You know, like the bread's going to be gone. The bread shelves will be empty because the government will be setting artificially low bread prices that are below the price of producing the bread. Thus, everybody's going to go in there and try to buy as much, you know, price-controlled bread as possible, because they can maybe turn around and sell it on the black market for more or something like that. When you put government price controls on things like bread or butter or electricity, you create shortages, because then people consume more of it at lower prices than what is actually available. In other words, you're incentivizing consumption, and you're eliminating the price signals that consumers and businesses and light industry will use in order to, let's say, conserve electricity. So by the federal government setting price caps on the bulk wholesale, you know, megawatt hours of generation capacity, what they've actually done is they have practically guaranteed blackouts across the Eastern power grid. Now, I'm not claiming that the power grid's going to fail, nothing like that. I'm not even claiming there's going to be blackouts every day. What I'm saying is that during peak demand, that is the super hot days of summer or the super cold days of winter, those days would become very high risk days for rolling blackouts, especially with all the data centers, mostly in Virginia, for example, that are running, and they need power 24/7. So you're going to have rolling blackouts among the residential users typically. But let me continue reading from the article. As the PJM Independent Market Monitor's annual report points out, PJM's last two capacity auctions showed a growing shortfall of generation compared to its reserve margin targets. In other words, not enough electricity, okay, causing wholesale power costs to jump 54% in 1 year. 54% in 1 year. There are, quote, clear warning signs for grid reliability in PJM, largely driven by data center development. The report indicates that price impacts have been large and will continue to grow, quote, until the issues associated with the additions of large data center loads are addressed. Well, what does that mean? Until the issues associated with the large data centers are addressed? You mean the fact that they're building more data centers that are using a lot more power? Until that's addressed? Well, good luck with that one. The article says, quote, simply put, PJM doesn't have enough capacity to serve data centers, according to the Market Monitor. Well, but of course, we've been told by various officials that, well, the data center race, it's all national security. We got to beat China. We've been told this, right? You've heard this. So when it comes to not having enough power for the 13 states of the PJM interconnection, do you think they're going to turn off the data centers, or are they going to turn off your house? Take all the time you need to answer that question. It shouldn't take long at all. They're going to turn off neighborhoods, is what they're going to do. And then the article goes on to talk about how there's also transmission problems and grid interconnection problems and basically all kinds of problems. All right. The auction that PJM held for the 2027-2028 year, which begins in June of 2027, by the way, that auction was held, or it was finalized, on December 17th of 2025. And that's the first time ever that the PJM auction failed to procure the energy commitments that it requires to meet its own reliability standards, whatever those are. You would think that that might be, you know, keep the lights on almost all the time for almost everybody. They do allow for things like, you know, once every 10-year type of event is probably going to crater the system and there will be blackouts. In fact, that is one of their standards, is a once in 10 years event. They expect to keep the lights on almost all the time except for once in 10 years. But here's the thing, a lot of those 10-year events or even 100-year events are becoming, well, much more common because of geoengineering and weather control. So you're having crazy Arctic storms in the winter that are colder than normal, or you're having, you know, hotter weather patterns than normal in the summer. And what do we have coming on right now? We have this El Nino pattern that's rolling in for the summer. I'm not sure that's going to affect the 13 states, but, well, to some degree it will later in the year. But this reserve margin, I've heard this before in Texas. You know, the Texas power grid was supposed to have all this margin also. That didn't mean jack when the Arctic blast blew through and the temperatures in Texas dropped to zero Fahrenheit, in North Texas anyway. Zero Fahrenheit, we're not supposed to see that. That's supposed to be like a once in 100 year event. Yeah, well, it happened in 2021. So these projections, they're not as reliable as they want us to think. My point is that if you live in these 13 states, you may not have power during certain peak days. And that's because, according to PJM, 94% of the increase in electricity demand is coming from data centers. 94% data centers. Wow. Okay. So let's see. The federal government set a limit of $333 per megawatt day. There's that number, 333. Yeah, you think that's just a random thing? No, I don't think so. 333 per megawatt day. The free market price would have been, we're told, would have been $530 per megawatt day. A megawatt day is a megawatt for 24 hours, by the way. So it's like 24 megawatt hours. So the free market price should have been 60% higher, but it was price capped by the government at $333. Thus, they don't have enough of a commitment of power to meet high load days with enough margin to keep all the lights on. Okay. So there's your answer. If you live in any of these 13 states, beginning June of 2027, you need to have a generator. you should have, at the very basic level, you should have like a power station, a little solar generator. You know, our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, they sell those, SAT123.com. They've got EcoFlow units and other units there. I'm checking out some other brands and some other products in that space, but I'm also building a whole solar system as well, and I'll share the solar project with you, but that's in upcoming videos and so on. But you should have a way to survive without electricity for a few days. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to get a diesel generator. And I understand they're not simple, they're not cheap, they're not small. But a diesel generator with a, I love to say this one, a 500-gallon tank of diesel fuel, that'll run a generator for a long time for a typical house. Like, potentially weeks or even maybe a couple of months, depending on your electricity usage. At the same time, if you have a diesel vehicle, then that diesel can be a dual-purpose fuel. It can go into the generator, or it can go into the vehicle. Now, for those of you who have solar systems or are thinking about solar systems, it's still a good idea to have a diesel generator anyway, because if your solar system isn't keeping up, or you have a cloudy day or a rainy day or whatever, you don't get enough solar energy, you can crank up the generator for maybe an hour, charge up your solar battery storage system, and then turn off the diesel generator. Because typically you don't want to run those diesel generators 24/7, because, you know, typically you have to change the oil every couple hundred hours, or 250 hours typically on a lot of those. So that's, if you're running it 24/7, every 10 days you have to change the engine oil. And we're about to run up against an engine oil shortage. Yes, because of the Middle East situation. Yeah, I know. It's like multiple crises colliding. That's why I bought like 50-gallon drums of diesel engine oil a couple of years ago. I'm still sitting on those drums. I have them on pallets in my barn, you know, ready to swap out engine oil if I have to. But you also have to buy the diesel engine oil filters and also the diesel engine air filters, etc., water separators, whatever else, and the diesel engine battery, the starter battery itself. You might want a spare battery, etc. Anyway, there's a lot of maintenance for that, but it's handy to have that alongside a solar system. Now, if you have a solar system, the biggest mistake that everybody makes is they install a grid-tied system that doesn't work when the grid goes down. So the grid goes offline, your solar system goes offline, and you're still sitting in the dark. Like, what happened to our solar system? Oh yeah, it's tied to the grid. Didn't you know that? That's why it's called a grid-tied system. When the grid goes down, your system goes down. Like, you're kidding me, right? Nope. That's 99% of the solar systems that are installed in America, or frankly, in Canada, everywhere, are grid-tied systems. That's why I have been saying you need an off-grid system, which is different. An off-grid system that is completely independent, is not even connected to the grid. And I'm not going to go through all the details right here because I'll cover this with more videos and things like that. But an off-grid system allows you to, you know, have solar panels, let's say, and charge up these batteries, and you have an inverter, and then ultimately you have a transfer switch, which has to be installed by a licensed electrician, obviously. But it's a big-ass transfer switch. It's the one I have is large anyway. I mean, it's like a cartoon, you know. This giant lever that you pull, and it physically disconnects from the grid, and then you push it down into the lower position, and then it reconnects to your off-grid solar system. That's what you need. And you'll be glad you have it when the grid goes down. So here's the thing. I'm going to be interviewing the COO of a major Texas-based inverter company as part of an upcoming decentralized TV interview. I'm also going to be filming videos about that and how I'm going to be recommending like solar panel racks and showing you how to set those up very easily, how to not waste time and not waste money on stupid things, but how to just get it done right. And I'm going to show you how to build an off-grid solar system, a simple one. Well, actually, the simplest thing you can do is just buy, you know, a solar generator, like they sell at, you know, the satellite phone store, and then just plug in panels into it. Boom, there you go. That's the simplest system, because the solar generator has its own charge controller, its own inverter, its own battery management system. It's called a BMS, etc. You want to get more complex, then you go with like a house level system to run your whole house. And then you need bigger batteries and a bigger inverter and more solar panels and more safety systems, etc. And in that case, in almost everywhere, you're going to need an inspection probably based on your county or your city or whatever. I'm not doing an inspection because, hey, I'm the health ranger. I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't go to the emergency room. I don't have inspectors. I use AI to do the research. I learn from experts. I interview experts. I mean, if I want to, I'll have an expert come out and look at it. But I'm not talking to the city. I'm not talking to any county. I'm not talking to any authorities at all. I'm just going to set it up and make it work. But depending on where you are, you might have to have somebody sign off on it. And from a safety perspective, you might want to have a professional installer anyway, because there's a lot of pitfalls and possible mistakes of connecting the wrong things or touching the wrong things or connecting batteries that are not equally charged and things like giant spark-inducing events that you may wish to avoid. Just saying. Just thinking out loud. But have a professional installer if you want to go this route. My point is that if you're in the 13 states that I just mentioned earlier, if you're in the 13 states, you should be thinking about off-grid power. Or you'll be probably sitting in the dark on either the hottest day of the year or the coldest day of the year. One of those two, because that's when there's peak demand. Okay, so the day that you need it the most is when the lights are going to go out. You're going to think, why today? Because today's the peak day. Because everybody's running space heaters or whatever, or air conditioners. That's the day that you're going to have the blackouts. They're telling you this. If you read PJM's in-house reports, what is it? Insidelines.pjm.com. If you go there and you read their reports, they are practically telling you you're going to be sitting in the dark. I mean, they can't say it just straight out like that, but they're saying it with enough emphasis that after the fact, they'll be able to testify that they warned you. It was on our website. We didn't have enough power in the auction to meet our reserve margin requirements. That's what they're going to say. It'll be like Alan Greenspan type language, you know. But they'll say, it's not our fault. We warned everybody. And then you're sitting in the dark. It's like, what do you mean you warned us? Nobody warned us. Yeah, it's on their website. So you have 1 year. Those of you listening from the 13 states, oh my God, you have 1 year to either move your ass out of the 13 states, or and you can move to Texas. Our power grid seems to work okay at the moment. Or you can have a backup energy system, energy storage. Hey, you don't even have to do the solar, by the way. You could just charge up a bunch of batteries from the grid so that those batteries could carry you through a few days of blackouts, even without solar. You could just live off the batteries, you know? Plus, maybe a generator would get you even, you know, further through that whole thing. But you've got 1 year to figure out what you're going to do. And again, just to be clear, I'm not saying that you're going to have no power after June of 2027. I am not saying that. I'm saying that PJM is saying that beginning in June of 2027, they don't have enough power to meet their requirements for margin on peak power demand days, period. Okay? And what do you suppose is going to happen when, you know, some kind of AI war or something, and, you know, we end up in a war with whoever, some declared war, and then Trump declares, like, the Pentagon has the right to everything. Frankly, it's all under the NDAA anyway. It's all there. They can just seize the electricity that they need. They just take it from you. And they just call it national security. Oh, we need to run the data centers harder. You know, it's national security. Yeah, screw your neighborhood or your local business or whatever. We need the power. It's a national emergency. It's world war. You think they can't do that? Oh, heck yes, they can do that. They can do that anytime. They can do that today. It's written into the NDAA. Read it. That was passed under Obama, I think, was it 2011 or 2012? They can take everything. They can take all the farms, all the seeds. They can take all diesel. They can take all energy, okay? It's written into the law. Frankly, they could come take your solar panels if they wanted to, but they wouldn't know what to do with them. You know, you can also throw a tarp over them for a couple of days and hide them or something. If you have to, it's like covert solar guerrilla operation. Of course, you'll have to uncover them to get the sunlight. Guerrilla solar farm. That's the next big thing, yes. And by the way, between now and next year, let me ask you, do you think they're going to build more data centers? Or no more data centers. They're going to build more data centers. Of course they are. Of course they're going to build more data centers in Virginia for the Pentagon and the CIA and the NSA, because they're, the way they see it, they're in an AI war with the whole world, and they're going to justify it in any means possible. They're going to take all the power they can get. So now your fate in, you know, freaking Indiana somehow is tied to Virginia. Isn't that crazy? You're hanging out, or you're in Illinois. You know, you're in freaking rural southern Illinois. Like, what does that got to do with the data centers in Virginia? Well, you're on the same grid. That's the problem. You're on the same grid, and they need all the power. You know, they need all the power in Virginia. Whereas if you're on the Missouri side of the Mississippi River, guess what? You're not on that grid. You're on the Missouri side. Not only is your state more sane, by the way, compared to Illinois, but your electricity costs are lower. Your taxation is lower. You know, you have more Second Amendment rights, etc. You should, like, if you're in St. Louis, you should move to the Missouri side before June of 2027, because you're switching the interconnections of the power grid. You're switching to the Western grid instead of the Eastern grid. Think about it. And plus, you can own more AR-15s on the Missouri side. So, hey, double benefit right there, yeah? Get out of Illinois. What are people still doing in Illinois? I don't know, man. It must be hard to live in a state like that, ruled by the lunatics in Chicago, huh? Yeah, crazy. You know, at least in Jeff City, Missouri, they're not having, like, you know, LGBT, you know, child rape parties at the Capitol. Like they probably are in Illinois. All right, anyway, enough of that. Get yourself prepared. Obviously, that's the answer to all of this. You have 1 year before things get, well, before the shortfall gets worse, let's say. And let me just reiterate, I'm moving quickly on this topic for all the reasons that are obvious now, and I will be bringing you more videos and demonstrations and how-to and all kinds of things like that, safety warnings, things like that. I'll be showing you how to put together a system like this. You could start small, and you can make it as big or as elaborate as you want, but I urge you to be thinking about this now. And the one thing I'll add here at the end is the current battery technology is not quite where I want it to be. It's close. The current state of the art is the lithium iron phosphate batteries that are typically the rack mount batteries that have 5 kilowatt hours. They run, well, we call them nominally 48 volt batteries, but they're really 51.2 volt batteries. They're heavy. I was just lifting one today. They're 100 pounds each. Not easy to put them in the racks, but each one holds 5 kilowatt hours. Which isn't as much as we would like. The thing is, we know that there are companies in China that will be manufacturing sodium ion batteries beginning fourth quarter of this year. Perhaps those batteries will be available next year, maybe in the United States. Sodium ion batteries have a much wider temperature range without triggering any kind of overheating safety margin or safety threshold, I should say. And the sodium ion batteries also, they're able to cycle more times, up to 20,000 times, which is about 60 years of daily use, which is a lot more than the current lithium iron phosphate batteries. So I've run up into the same conundrum that you would be facing if you're trying to think about such a system right now. It's like, do I buy the batteries now or do I wait for better battery technology to come later this year? It's your call. I decided to buy a subset of batteries right now, a smaller set. I actually only bought 5 of them, 4 for one setup that'll be 20 kilowatt hours, and then 1 for the demo in the studio. I'll be showing you all this in the studio. So I've got 5 batteries only, which is not that much. It's 25 kilowatt hours. It's not like a whole home system, not really. Especially not when you're running computers like I do with all the AI stuff going on. You use a lot more power. So it's your call. The longer you wait, the better the batteries get. But also, you might run out of time because things are changing dramatically. The war continues to accelerate. You know, energy prices are going through the roof for oil. And motor oil might be running out, or at least going to have some scarcity, some diesel scarcity. You know, transportation and delivery might get really sketchy from here forward. So, I don't know. Yeah. Just, Either way you go, there's a risk. So do what's best for you, and I will do my best to keep you posted. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here. You can follow me at brightvideos.com. My articles are at naturalnews.com. Our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, they have power stations right now, SAT123.com. I think they also have BeReady123.com if you want to check them out, plus the satellite phones, which are awesome. And if you want backup food supplies and garden seeds and other preparedness supplies, shop with us, healthrangerstore.com. And that's where you get, you know, lab-tested, certified organic, long-term, storable, high-nutrient density foods and superfoods, nutritional supplements that we manufacture, too. And the amazing, you know, colloidal silver first aid gel, things like that, which I formulated. And you can check it all out at healthrangerstore.com to help you get prepared for whatever's coming. Whatever it looks like, being prepared is wise. All right, thank you for listening. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.